Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Super Carlin Brothers is sponsored by Nude. Y'all, of course, know about my podcasting and YouTube endeavors, and you may even know that I do some aquarium maintenance at times, but you may not be aware that my wife, Alice, and I also own a business together called Nude. I know it's a funny name, but there's actually a fun story behind it. See, Alice has always had a deep love for clothing and fashion, but even more so for thrifting. It was her way to sustainably and economically expand her wardrobe while still aiming for quality brands that would last. And she is really good at it. Like, I can't tell you the number of times over the years that she has been stopped by people admiring her finds. So much so that she coined a phrase for her response. Thanks, it's nude. As in new, but in the past tense, because it's not exactly new, it's nude. So, we took this concept and created a storefront not 100 yards from where Super Carlin Brothers was created and have an online shop featuring pre-loved clothing from brands like Lululemon, Free People, Anthropologie, Madewell, and so many more. If you'd like to check it out for yourself to ring in the nude year, if you will, you can do so at nudesalem.com and use promo code SUPER to get 20% off your entire order. That's NEWDSalem.com, promo code SUPER for 20% off. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
You smell that, Ben?
Is it what The Rock is cooking?
It is not what The Rock is cooking. It's just the sun seems brighter. The air seems crisper. You know, it is one of those glorious couple of days after the Hokies have played UVA when UVA has lost... Again.
Oh my gosh. So the backstory here, y'all, in case you don't know, is that despite the fact that this was supposed to be our year.
This was our year.
But you know what? Next year.
Next year's our year. Ben, do you know why next year's our year?
Pop Watson.
It says it right here.
Pop
Watson, my man.
Yes, I mean, no joke. The entire Virginia Tech athletics department has leaned into Popcorn Culture so much. All a lie that their new starting quarterback's name is Pop.
Literally Pop. I didn't even know that. I knew that like our third string guy was in, and I thought like Siri had done like a correction or something when you put it in the group chat. And said Pop Watson, and I was like, I still don't know what his name is. And then I looked at it on screen, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's his name. I love it. He's the future.
Yes.
And then I watched him play, and I was like, oh my god, I love you. You're the future.
He was really good. He was really good. It was very exciting stuff. The thing that I thought was probably the funniest out of all of it is that I think out of the past like 20 years, and I'm just ballparking the statistic here, Virginia Tech has won 19 of 20, and the year where they lost was 2019. And so at some point in the game, they interviewed a UVA player who was like a sixth year senior who had been a member of the 2019 team that beat the Hokies. And it's like the thing about college sports is that people are graduating and like moving on in their life and stuff like that. And if you're curious, eligibility is like you get like 4 years of playing eligibility. Yeah. So it's possible that this guy was like a
red shirt or something.
Yeah. Like he was on the team, but like not getting playing time.
Yeah.
And like now he's like a graduate student or something like that. But it was so hilarious to me to listen to him be interviewed. And he's like, you know, because the sideline reporter is like, what do we need to do to win the game? And it's like, well, back when we beat him in 2019, here's what we had going on. It's like, okay, like everything has changed.
Dude.
You're the only person who's still here.
Oh my gosh. Not only did they interview him, Ben, that was the longest side of the field interview I've ever heard in the middle of a game. It went on for like 3 minutes while the game is happening next to the interview.
It was the strangest thing in the world. I was literally like, Alice, I was like, I don't know why he is still talking right now.
Like I said the same thing to Beth. I was like, bro, I don't care.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was so comical. And then they finished talking and the guy totally checked out the reporter. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did not notice. I had totally tuned him out by that point.
I went back 3 times and made Alice watch his eyes each time because it would like get to the end of the thing and his eyes were just like,
he's like, whoa.
Yeah, he was trying to do like very like like some like savory eyes or something.
The
yeah.
smolder.
This is like, yeah. No, the smolder would be one thing, you know, like Eugene Fitzherbert can throw down a six
smolder.
Down
the smolder.
This was a saver.
This was a saver.
A saver. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so sports, we won.
Sports, we won. Hooray! We're bowl eligible. Fun times. Yeah. I it might have been a weird choice to lead in with that, but you know, it's always just a good time to bring up UVA losing at football to
right.
the Hokies.
Right. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure it got said.
Right.
At some point. It was probably, despite that being a very exciting evening of football, it was probably the least exciting thing that happened to me all weekend.
It was a busy weekend. It was a busy weekend, yeah. To say the least. Yeah. I mean, so we honestly, what I thought you were going to cue into here being December 2nd as of recording is that crisp, cool air being like, you know, the holiday season being upon us.
Yes.
But yeah. So, I mean, before we properly get into those antics, we have to close out the month of November.
Yes, we do.
Which is why we had like a long weekend. We kind of do like the school schedule thing where like we're in work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the whole team, everybody's off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we've had like a long
weekend.
I think I saw you every day.
I think you did. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, for one reason or another.
right. Yep. So no lapse in being able to get our time in.
Nope.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, walk me through it because you had a rather big year for your Thanksgiving holidays.
We absolutely did. Yeah, so we had... me and Beth were hosting Thanksgiving this year for the first time for like the family.
How did it feel?
Dude, I mean, it felt like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And it felt like the whole week leading up, we were definitely in like constant like cleaning mode and like prepping mode. And which was frustrating a little because like, you know, you'd go and you'd clean the whole downstairs and you'd be like, all right, this looks good. And then, you know, you'd come back an hour later and the kids have just completely gotten out 10 new toys. And they're like, oh my gosh.
Dude, that is the exact problem that I hate about these like times where I'm like on like a staycation type situation.
Yeah.
Is like me and Alice clean every day.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, it's not like a big thing, but you know, it's like we can usually tidy our house in like 15 minutes or so. But like normally it's broken up by like going to work and going to the gym and like doing other aspects of life.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair, we were like busy throughout the whole long weekend, but I was like, man, I feel like I have been just like cleaning and then making a mess and then cleaning and then making a mess. And I was like, this is, I feel like I spent like a good portion of my time off cleaning.
Wow.
Cause then when you're in the house all the time, you make even more messes.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 You totally do.
So
and
anyway.
Yeah. And we had, like Luke's birthday was happening over this weekend. So there was just like, you know, yeah, Thanksgiving is a messy thing. I'll get into all that here in a second. But, so yeah, we were hosting Thanksgiving and I mean, it was a lot of like, felt like, you know, like a lot of pressure. Cause it was like, you know, our whole side of the family and then like Beth's, parents and her brother and his wife and their new daughter were all coming too.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, you know, both sides of our family coming into one spot and everyone was totally game. And I think it went really well.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Okay. Confirmed. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
Cool.
The turkey was amazing.
Yeah. I was so impressed. It was really good. I have to give Beth most of the credit for everything. But it was like, she was so dialed into it. Cause like, you know, I have to come to work every day and, you know, work here and do what we do.
Sure.
But she was just at home, like focusing on Thanksgiving. And, you know, we've been to like a couple like dinner parties at friends' houses and they'll have like, these like lavish table decorations and stuff. And it was like, she had seen all of that and you could just like, you could tell like it had like activated a part of her brain. Like, I want to host like a thing and do like all these little extra isms that like elevate it from just like Thanksgiving dinner to like event. You know?
I mean, it looked like it was like clean off of a Pinterest board to me.
It did.
Like there was like a big like string of magnolia leaves centerpieces. Mm-hmm. There were like individual place settings with like name, like table, yeah.
Name cards.
Name cards. Yes. Yeah, that she had like calligraphized.
Yeah, Beth, she spent like the night before, Wednesday evening, just sitting at the table, like, you know, where she's sort of like watching Survivor out of the corner of her eye while I'm on the couch, just sort of like telling her what's happening over my shoulder.
Right,
and she's at the table like watercoloring pumpkins onto name cards and then individually like labeling them in calligraphy and then putting them at the spots where everyone's going to sit. And she went out and got like chargers, which is like a hilarious word I never knew until like 2 years ago. But it's just like, it's like a plate for your plate to sit on.
I loved the chargers.
They were
though.
Great. Yes.
I was like, now this is like, this is elevating my plate and my experience.
Yeah. She like folded all the napkins in a specific way. We bought new tablecloths. We rearranged all of the furniture in the house in some ways. And I'm like, this is just better. We're just keeping it in some of the spots.
I love that.
Yeah. So that was kind of fun. It involved like a lot of moving parts. All that, and then she had to do the turkey, which is of course like big responsibility. Got to get the turkey right.
I know, yeah. It's such a. I mean, there's so much. I've done it a couple of times now myself, and it's like the pressure attached to
the turkey,
getting the turkey right. Yeah. It's almost like the hours leading up to everybody getting there. It's like, nobody talk to me.
Yeah,
I am focused on hitting this temperature, and I'm not actually involved with the oven or smoker. Achieving it,
yeah,
but I'm like watching it.
But you're watching because, like, what if for some reason it doesn't get there? It feels like whenever you're watching like the Great British Bake Off, and they'll always be like, "I've made this like 10 times at home. There's no reason for it to go any differently in the tent." And then of course it does,
yeah.
And you're, but it feels like that. It's like there's no reason the oven shouldn't cook a turkey to this temperature given the time parameters and everything. Like, this is how the math. But today it might not for reasons. But we had like this big like. I think it's like a device specifically for roasting turkeys, like a turkey roaster.
Oh,
like an appliance
handy.
Or something.
Yeah,
that. Okay. So that was that. And she got it going. There was a minor scare because last weekend we were at the Chiefs Panthers game, and like our best mindset was like, let me get through that weekend, then I'll start focusing on Thanksgiving. And so we're like driving back and she's like, oh no, I might have already been starting to, I should already be thawing the turkey. Like, I'm,
yes.
Yeah.
It takes like 3 days.
It takes like 5 days.
It takes like 5 days, yeah. Like I was saying. Yeah.
And it was like, well, but like, we've only got the rest of today and tomorrow and Wednesday. So that's not enough days. And she's like freaking out. She literally called both of our moms and they were like, they both had the same solution. And they're like, no, it'll be okay. This is what to do. And then we did that, which was just buy like a non-frozen turkey.
Hey, yeah. Look yeah. at you guys go.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, we did
you
it.
We cracked the code.
Which honestly, I think was probably better because then it's just like fresher. You just have to like, what you're walking is the gamble between like, if you buy the frozen one, you can buy it way in advance and not have to worry about it not being there.
Right.
If you're buying the fresh one, everyone else might also be waiting to buy the fresh one and then they'll be out.
Right.
And then it'll be too late to get a frozen one.
Okay.
So you're running that gamble, but it paid off. We got it.
Perfect.
No problem. Yeah. We nailed it. Got the turkey. Nailed it. And then the earlier in the day, though, we had the annual Drumstick Dash to attend, the 5K that is run on Thanksgiving morning in Roanoke.
Yeah. This is like one of those like family traditions that like I'm like so intermittent on myself at this point in life. And I've been running, actually. And so I was kind of like, you know, yeah, this will be great. And then last week, I was just doing Ring Around the Rosie with Addison and I, you know, all fell down and pulled my back.
Oh,
and I was like,
look at you.
I know.
Welcome to your mid-30s for real, Ben.
For real. I know. Yeah. So then, you know, it was just, I felt like literally every single thing I did for the entire long weekend was like lift heavy, awkward things through weird spaces. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I will never be better.
I know. I hate the dude. When you tweak your back or something like that, it's just like it's so annoying because it's hard to move at all without activating your back in some way.
Right. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's like, I mean, I always say the same thing, like when you like cut like your finger or something and then you're like, oh, you don't realize how often you like interact with this. And it's like such a pain because it hurts everywhere.
Yeah.
And then like me and Alice ended up like making that joke, you know, where we were like, hey, you don't realize how much you use your back. And it's like, oh, like. Always.
Yeah.
You're almost
pretty
always.
Much always. Yeah,
it's pretty much always backtivated.
Yeah, it's pretty much backtivated at all times.
So anyway, I didn't do the Drumstick Dash, but it didn't mean that somebody didn't pick up the mantle for me.
Yeah. Oh, who picked up the mantle for you? Luke?
Luke, yes. I was setting you up.
Setting me up, yes.
Bump, set.
Boom, spike.
Nailed
volleyball
it.
Spike. Dude, we had a game in when we were in, this is a complete tangent, it has nothing to do with anything, but we had, do you remember the game Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Gesundheit?
Maybe Budokai Tenkaichi 3 was the version on the Wii, but we had a game when we were in high school called Dragon Ball Z Budokai, and one of the characters in it, I believe it was Tien, if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, he had a move where he would like bump, set, and spike the opponent, and I guess this is like something he does in the show, and he would just, every time he would do it, he would just yell out, volleyball spike! And every single time I have pretended to hit it, I've spiked a volleyball since then, I have said it like that.
Volleyball spike!
Volleyball spike, and it always makes me think of that game.
So, that's amazing.
Anyway, volleyball spike, Tien, woo! Basically a useless character otherwise in DBZ, just not, like, why are you still around? Anyway.
Say the name of the game again.
Dragon Ball Z Budokai.
And then you had other modifiers.
Oh, okay. And then there was an updated version that came out on the Wii, and it was Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3.
Of course.
I know.
Yeah.
Which I can only ever remember because it rhymed.
Whatever works,
and,
Jay.
And it's funny. And like every time me and Tyler talk about it, we'll say the entire name.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Tyler was texting me last weekend a bunch of Dragon Ball Z things, and he clearly just wanted to like talk about it with somebody.
Yes.
And so he was just asking questions for me. He'd be like, well, if you were to ask me what are my top five fights, I would have to say these. Now, if you were including this, I'd probably have to say that. And he was just having a conversation with himself on the thread.
But it's like,
yeah,
but you're here.
But you're here
to hear me say these words.
I can react to them.
I honestly though, my heart goes out to him because I cannot imagine if like you had, I mean, you read Name of the Wind before me anyway, yeah, but I can't imagine if you hadn't read it at all and I had no one to talk to about
it.
Oh,
dude, I mean, this is me all the time. I have so many things like this.
I know.
So many things. I've had on here as my Wick of the Peak, Arcane, for like 3 weeks. And I keep bringing it up to people, and I haven't met another person in real life who's seen it. And I'm like waiting to find that person to talk about it with.
Well, let me stop you right there. I watched episode one last night.
No!
I did indeed.
Wow.
And dude, I gotta say, I think the animation is so cool.
You are not even, the animation is insane in the show Arcane on Netflix. The second season, which I think is also the final season, just came out.
Okay.
And let's just shift into Wick of the Peak. Guys, I somehow missed the first season entirely. I did not know about it. And people started talking about season two. Like I saw, seeing it on socials and stuff. And I was like, all right, what is the show? This looks cool. And I started watching it, and like, I cannot, like, it is, I can't, like, it's so good.
It is spectacular.
The animation is insane. The characters are so engaged. Like, I haven't seen storylines like it before. Like, the way in which you, like, empathize with all the characters and how, like, it feels like the good guys and bad guys are aligned on both sides of whatever war is brewing. And it's so cool. And then, like, I got, like, 3 episodes in, and I finally, like, saw the full title, and it says, like, Arcane, League of Legends. And I was like, League of Legends? Like the video game?
Right,
and,
right.
Like, then I had to, like, go confirm, and I was like, yes. Okay, so all these characters are characters from League of Legends. And at that point, I was like, okay. But I'm glad I didn't know that going in, because then I might have felt like I'm, like, on the outs on needing to, like, know certain things.
Right.
But it's like, let me tell you what. You don't need to know anything about the games. Like once you're aware of it, there will be like moments where you can tell they're like paying off something from the game.
Right, right.
And it's
right.
Like, oh yeah, that thing just came up. But let me tell you what, if you're not getting those payoffs, it does not matter. It does not matter. Just watch the show anyway. Because like you only watch the first episode.
I just watched the first episode.
Okay, so you don't even really know yet. You don't even really know yet.
Okay, okay.
You haven't gotten to meet like the characters.
Okay.
And they're yeah. Dude, guys, Arcane. It is, I was trying to make a list of like, I was like, I'm going to make a TikTok about like the 5 animated shows you have to watch. Like if you think like, I don't like animation, here's what you should watch. And I was like, and this makes the list. This is one of the 5 best animated shows I've ever watched.
Dang.
I know.
Is Avatar on there?
Avatar is probably number one. Yes.
Okay. And then Arcane. Then I imagine Invincible.
Invincible was on the list as well. You got it. You got it. You're doing really good.
Let's see.
Invincible is probably 5.
Five,
for what it's worth, yeah.
I'm debating on whether or not you think Korra is good enough or different enough.
I would say Avatar is, like, if you watch Avatar, like, that's like honorable mention. Like, go ahead and watch Korra too, but like Avatar proper.
Okay. Yeah. Give me your last two.
Okay. Other one is Bluey.
Oh, Bluey. I don't know how I missed that.
I know.
My mind was going in like a completely different like one genre. Bluey.
And gosh, now I feel like I couldn't remember Invincible for so long. And then now I'm forgetting what my fourth one was. All right. I'll keep brewing on it.
Is Bluey second?
Bluey, I think, might be second.
Oh, yeah. Behind Avatar. Wow. Yeah.
Avatar is very good, though. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think that's like quintessential. Like, you must watch that.
Do you think Avatar helped define you as a person? Like, do you think like you took like pieces from it and like...
I don't know if I think it helped define me as a person. I don't think, like, maybe not.
Do you think Bluey has?
Bluey more than Avatar.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is, like, that has helped define a lot of things for, like, parenting and stuff. In a weird way. Not like, oh, this is exactly how you have to be. But just, like, the overall, like, play first, like, very optimistic kind of, like, attitude towards everything.
Yeah.
Why can't I think of the fifth show? I should have wrote these down. Dang it.
It'll come back to you. Crossword Puzzle Brain.
We'll crossword puzzle brain it. We're going to think of it. But yes, at least those four you should watch. That regardless of age or experience or anything, they are all awesome. Really good to get into. But Arcane right now on Netflix, insane.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Well, I'm going to keep watching because Alice has been going to bed before me, which is a new thing for us. And I've been like, you know what? Honestly, I'm just going to try to, like, I know that Jay talks about these things. My big issue is that I don't usually have like an opportunity because it's so out of her wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like if we're going to sit down and watch something together, it's kind of like we have to find, you know, like that like good, solid, like, you know, what's something like we'll both like.
Yeah.
And typically, like, this is a hard sell for her. But if she goes to bed, I'm like, ha-ha.
Aha, now I'm going to watch something.
Let's go.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're going to regret it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deal. Bet.
Yeah. Bet. Boom. Ha. So anyway, there's our Wick at the Peak. Arcane. Back to the Drumstick Dash.
I know people are like the edge of their seat. Like, what is it? What do you mean? What did it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. let's see. So honestly, like, the night before, this past like 5 days has been like, it is winter now. It is cold outside.
I mean, we were having such an unseasonably warm fall.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where like I like planted new grass and had to mow it more than once.
Wow.
Like since October.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely like all of a sudden it got real cold instantly.
Instantly. Yeah, so it was like Wednesday like night, and I'm like, we're like looking at the forecast and the race is supposed to start at like 9, and it's like saying it's going to be raining until like 8:45 or something. And I was like, golly, if there's one thing I do not want to do right now, it is get my three children, stuff them in a bunch of warm clothing and stand in the rain for 15 minutes and then like get them all wet and have to walk 3 miles.
Yeah. That sounds like bottom, you know, tier.
I know. I was like, that is just like, especially when otherwise I could just be at home continuing to get ready for Thanksgiving or something.
Right.
Yes. So I was like, and part of me was just like, I hope like part of it is like either way it was going to be wet, you know, like it's going to be wet a little bit. Whether or not like it's like raining or sprinkling, like it's just going to be cold outside. Like that's the other thing. Even if it was just freezing, that's not super.
Dude, this takes me back to our like indoor track days where like our coach, I've always said this, I think I was like so determined to like eventually be like the subject of like a movie coach or something, where it's like, but coach, it's 34 degrees and raining outside. And it's like, you know, it's like it's almost worse than if it was 31 degrees, because then it would be snowing.
Right.
And then you're not getting soaked. But it was more like, well, Here we go. You know, it's like, bundle up.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, I swear, I just don't ever think we had the proper attire, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I remember somewhere along the way, there was a brand called Mammut.
Yeah.
That our family bought like a few jackets of. Mm-hmm. And so like all through indoor track season, I just wore this like soft shell jacket that like in hindsight, I'm like, ooh, not warm enough. Not anywhere close to it.
I remember thinking like I had like two Under Armour shirts and I remember being like, well, this is great. You know, like this is exactly what it's for.
Yeah.
You know, and then I look back and it's like, nope. No, like you, what you were wearing was like summer Under Armour stuff.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like just the fact that you were wearing it, like it was better than nothing, but like not like warm.
Not warm. Yeah. 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 But we survived it anyway. So we still have not.
We still haven't gotten to it. Anyway, we loaded everyone up. We got them down to the race and the rain, it was like sprinkling maybe, like misting, I would say, for most of the race, but it was bearable. It was bearable. Okay. We had the kids in their jackets. We had the twins in the stroller. They had their hoods up. They had blankets. They were fine. Okay. They were good. But the big thing was that Luke really wanted to run with Beth for the race. And, you know, he like, because, you know, he knows she goes on like all these runs all the time. And I think he just wanted to like be a part of it. So the day before on Wednesday, she had taken him out to go on like a little training run. And they did, they just like ran around the neighborhood, but they came back and like they'd run like a whole mile.
That's very impressive.
I know. Yeah. And like, you know, they'd stopped and walked a few times or whatever, but they'd done it, you know, they got through the entire thing. And Luke was just like so proud of himself. And I'm like staring, I'm like beaming at him. I'm like, oh my God, you did it. Like I was so proud that he just like, even just did the little training run.
Yes.
You know, it was so cool. It was so cool. It was like, oh my gosh, we've like run our whole lives and it's like such a thing. And like, oh my God, you just went on a run. You ran a whole mile. So the next morning he gets out there and me and dad and the twins are just like with the stroller and we're like, I think we got there after the race started, you know.
Sure. I mean, it's hard to get in.
Yeah, it's hard to get in, but like, which is to say that maybe like 5 minutes later, but people were still like crossing the start line, but we got in like right at the back. So we're like, I'm having to like maneuver around people with the stroller like the whole race. Took forever, but like Beth and Luke kind of like take off a little bit and it sounds like they did a lot of walking. It was kind of like a walk jog, you know. Okay. Run as far as you can, walk a little bit, run as far as you can, walk a little bit, but they still finished like, you know, 15 minutes ahead of us. So that was good. But Beth got some really good like shots of him like at the finish line, and he had some of his teachers recognized him at the line and they were cheering. And you could just see him like at the finish line, like everyone was cheering, and he just like took off. He had like a great little kick for the finish.
Dude, yeah, that is like the moment though. Like it's like hard to put a like reasonable price tag on it, because like when you get that like finishing feeling at any race distance at all, but especially if it's like the longest thing you've ever done to date, like there is just something sheer like euphoric about it. Like,
yeah,
you're so proud of yourself, and it's like there's all this like excitement and noise and cheering, and it's like you get to simulate that feeling of being like an Olympian crossing the line, even though you're, you know, 7,000th
in this
race or whatever. It's like, you know, we're not here to compete, but like I think that's like the moment where like your body will allow you to give yourself credit in a way that I think our minds are so determined not to do all the time.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like when you get like that experience, it is just it's like sometimes I wish there was like a way to like bottle it or convince people like the reason, like I know that going out and running in the cold in the morning is miserable and that you think you will be more tired if you go out and do this thing. But it's like, if I could somehow find a way to show you what will happen, like you will be so proud of yourself.
Yeah.
I promise.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway.
So it was really cool. We got video of that. And Luke was indeed very proud of himself. He got like a little medal afterwards, which is great. It's like, you know, which is like, and he loves to like wear Beth's medals around the house from the different races. But this one, like he actually got, you know, did it himself. So that was really good. That was really fun. So super proud of him. Luke, if you're ever listening to this in the future on Pop 261, you know.
I know, right? Yeah. From dad from the past.
Dad from the past. Well done, son. You did it.
You did it.
Yeah. And so that was honestly the last day he was six, because then the next day was his birthday on Black Friday.
That is so unbelievably like mind bending to me. Like I can't believe, you know, people, and that's the thing. People will have always said like, time flies, like blink and you'll miss it. Like I think there's like a country song that like sometimes like I've played for Alice and it makes her cry every single time, but it's like, you're gonna miss this because like everybody's always in like such a hurry to like grow up or get to the next stage.
Yeah.
And it's like at some point in time you're gonna look back and be like, what happened? Where did it go?
Yeah.
And it's like I think even when you're growing up, it's like you're experiencing time so slowly because you're learning so much. You're taking in so much world that like everything is big and meaningful and like, you know, marking like firsts and mm-hmm. all this type of stuff. And then I think that at some point in time, you know, your life becomes somewhat methodical. Like, you know, your days start to look a little bit more like the other days and you kind of like fall into like a routine and, you know, that type of thing. And then like then time starts to start going really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And I think like it's so interesting to be on this side looking down at like, you know, your kids, my kids, at like this, I don't know. It's like, how is he seven?
I know. It feels like he was just born.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not. He's seven. He woke up. He was very specific about how he wanted his birthday to go. He wanted there to be balloons in the hallway when he walked out of his bedroom. So we did that. We happened to have like a nice pack of Mickey themed balloons, which were pretty cool because some of them were like clear balloons with confetti inside.
Oh, that's great.
Which was
great.
Fun.
Yeah, love
so
that.
I just blew up that whole pack. That's what I was doing. This was after Thanksgiving. After we hosted Thanksgiving, everyone left, and then I had to sit on the couch and blow up a bunch of balloons.
Oh my gosh, you guys are champs.
Yeah, so I had to go do that. But and then he wanted to come downstairs and open his presents at the table like first thing in the morning, and I was like, okay. So we set all that up for him, we got it all wrapped and stuff, and he came down and he was super excited about the balloons, and he opened his gifts, and we had gotten him a couple of fun things. So last year he saw this like potion set in one of those like Christmas catalog things, and we honestly tried to get it for him for Christmas last year, and it was like sold out. So
we
ended up getting him like a different, like what I would say better potion set, in that you actually like mix liquids together and like make, you know, fun little, you know, entry level chemistry potion things.
Yeah,
out of like, you know, household like soap and baking soda and stuff like that.
Is it called like elephant snot or something?
Oh,
like what is like the
toothpaste? That called? Yeah, elephant toothpaste. That's what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't that, sadly.
Okay.
But there was a bunch of things we did, and we played with that a bunch. And honestly, we ordered like, I think we have like seven of those kits sitting in the basement for like any given kid's birthday party. It happens to be.
Oh, no kidding.
Like, it was like, this was a great one. Boom, potion set. You got it. Kids love potions. This one was like a Fisher Price one that I think really what he wanted was this like the cauldron to like mix stuff in or whatever.
Yes.
But actually it was like, there is a cauldron, but it's all like part of like one big table, and you like flip this little spell book and put the ingredients in, which have nothing to do with it, but it's just for the sake of doing it.
Okay.
And then it's like, there's like a water element. You like dip a vial in and scoop water out of the bucket after you've put all your potions in, and like pour it on this like little plastic frog. And then based on what page the spell book is on, after the water is added, the frog will do something.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So I had no idea that's how it was going to work, but he opened that, and there was like one where like if you pour it on, the frog will like start flashing, and if you say something to him, he'll like say it back to you.
Okay.
So that they loved that one. They did that for like an hour where they were just making the frog say stupid things.
Well, I mean that alone seems like it was like worth the,
I know, yeah
worth
that,
it.
That was pretty fun. And then the other thing we got was, he had been asking for this, is a pogo stick.
Okay.
I know. Sort of a pogo stick.
We used to pogo pretty hard.
We
back
did.
In the day.
Used to pogo pretty hard. Yeah, we had like a little pogo stick that I think that was more like a traditional, like it was a stick with a spring on the bottom.
A stick with a spring on the bottom.
We
could do it with no hands.
Could do it with no hands. We got pretty good at the pogo stick.
We did, yeah.
I didn't think Luke would be able to like stick with spring pogo stick just yet, but they have this other kind where it is like a foam block and then almost like a resistance band coming through the top with like a handle.
I've seen them. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And so you stand on the block, and then they just hold the resistance band, and as you jump, it like brings it up with you, so you can kind of go a little bit higher. And this is like the modern day pogo stick, or like the learner pogo stick or whatever. Although the reason I got this one in particular, well, I was looking at it and I was like, oh, this one might be a good like alternative entry one or whatever. But I was reading the reviews for it, and the one that got me was really funny. It was this girl who had bought it for her boyfriend, and she said like, he absolutely loves it. He's 6 foot tall and weighs like, you know, 200 pounds or something.
Oh my gosh.
And he cannot stop doing it. And I was like, okay,
I'm sold. That is
if
so
like
funny.
Adults are having fun with this, then like, no, my kids are gonna love it. But and then he specifically asked for a yellow and purple one. I have no idea why.
JMU colors?
They are JMU colors. I guess that could have had something to do with it. But fortunately, this brand did have a yellow and purple foam block resistance band pogo stick thing.
Look at you go.
They did. However, the yellow, each different color came with, the, like, they all had, like, an emoji, like, on the front or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, the, each one was different per the color. And for the yellow and purple one, the emoji was rainbow poop.
Amazing.
I know. I was like, why is this on here at all? Why would anyone want this? But then the more I thought about it, I was like, this is going to go over amazing. He's going to freaking love it. And he absolutely did. So, and I was impressed. Like, he got on it and he was hopping around on that thing all weekend. Like, immediately got it.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah, it was good. And, like, it was interesting because, like, he could do it, and then, like, Nick and Nate seemed like they were having a little bit more trouble, like, figuring it out. But, like, this, there was, like, a theme over the past few days where I feel like Luke, in turning seven, like, this, in, like, this time frame of his, like, development, like, has crossed into a new plateau of, like, coordination and, like, hand dexterity.
Okay.
It seems like there's been like a definite turning of the corner, because there was a few other things, but like figuring out the pogo stick, like we were around a bunch of other kids for the rest of the weekend, and like everyone wanted to try it, but like no one could do it like Luke, and they were all kind of like smaller than him.
Oh, no kidding.
So okay. Yeah, he had it. He had it like on lock and was like immediately good at it, which was really cool.
That is, that's exceptionally cool.
Yeah. So that's, he got his presents, and then we decided to go see, or you invited us to go see a movie later that day. Which I think was Addison's first time at the movie theater ever.
No. She went once with her, with Alice's mom.
Okay.
This was my first ever movie theater experience with Addie, which this was like one of those things where like several months back there was a situation. I think we were out of town for tour or something like that, and Addison was staying, you know, with her nanny, and it was like she messaged me and she'd be like, would it be okay if I took Addison to see Inside Out 2? And I was like, yes, do that. Like, she will love it. Yeah. That's a great idea. But there was like this tiny little piece of me that was like, oh man, but I wanted, like, more than anything, it's not that I didn't want her to go to the movie theaters. I just wanted to be there. I just wanted to see it. And so she went and saw Inside Out 2, and she did amazing. But you know, she's been really big into Moana, and Moana 2 came out, and it was like the holidays, and Alice was working because it was still like Black Friday, you know, her store. And so I was like, okay, I need like a fun activity to go and do with Addison today. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm starting to understand why the Thanksgiving holiday weekend is like such a big one for movie releases. Cause I have to imagine all the kids are out of school. A lot of parents are off work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's the perfect opportunity to go like get out of the house and like go do the thing. It's like another one of those things. It's like, I'm like, I wasn't like the right age. I wasn't in like the right stage of life to appreciate like why this practice is exactly what
right,
it is.
Exactly what it is.
So that was really cool. And then I was kind of like, well, you know, she loves spending time with, you know, your boys and seeing you and Beth as well. So I was like, well, maybe they want to go with us. So we went and we did Moana 2, which I thought was the with Addie in particular, what I thought was really adorable was I got her like one of the little like snack trays with like a lemonade and like popcorn. It comes like a thing of gummies. And then like I bought her like a bag of like M&Ms. And so she sits down and asked me to open the M&Ms for her. And so I, you know, tear the top off or whatever and hand it back to her. And then like within seconds, she reaches over and she's handing me the bag. And I'm sort of like,
Did you already eat them?
Did you like dump them on the floor or something? Yeah. I mean, which, you know, it was kind of just like, well, shoot. Okay. And I look over and she'd poured them into her popcorn. And I was like, we don't even do that at home. Like, I'm so impressed that you.
What? Yeah. She just came up with that on her own?
She just did it on her own.
That's good popcorn instincts, Ben.
I know.
I'm very impressed.
I know.
I mean, popcorn culture is sort of a big deal in our family.
It really, for
her, she clearly has the right instincts.
She has the genes.
She has the genes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in her blood.
It is in her blood.
So that was really cute, very adorable. She actually did choose to sit next to you and Luke rather than me, which, no problem.
I was like, yeah, no, I was like, well, because Luke said he wanted to sit next to me and Addie, so I thought he was gonna switch so that you know, we'd be on either side of him. But then he seemed perfectly fine sitting next to you. And I was just like, and then like, I was trying to like make sure Addie was okay throughout the movie. And she was just like, she was very polite. And anytime she needed anything, she would just tell me and I, you know, try and help her out as much as possible.
But, it was so yeah, cute. It was so great. Cute. I mean, there's, yeah, it was just such a fun experience. And she did eventually come and like kind of like sprawl out on me. And I was kind of like, okay, I still go.
Yeah.
That being said, I gotta say, Moana 2, I was like categorically unimpressed with.
Dude, yes. Yeah, I agree. I was very much looking forward to it because Moana 1 is one of like my favorite Disney movies.
Yes.
It's like unbelievably good. And like, I kind of felt like going into Moana 2, like I heard this from a few people that like they didn't even know it was coming out. And I was like, well, and like I knew it was coming out, but I'm very much like in that like, you know, echo chamber of like Disney news.
Yeah. It's hard to miss it when you live the life we live.
Yeah, exactly. So and like the trailers I'd seen, we made a couple of Moana videos last week, and like the trailers all seemed like had this really like fun imagery, and I was like excited to go see it. Like I was like, oh man, this could be like this could be a new great classic.
Yeah.
You know, for Disney.
Yep.
But boy is it not. I was just thoroughly unimpressed by Moana 2.
Try to keep it spoiler free.
I will try and keep it spoiler free.
Yeah.
I will just say that like the plot felt like just very a retread of the first, but like less cohesive. It felt like there's a bunch of new characters. Like she travels with a crew this time. And I could not tell you a single character's name from the crew.
Yeah.
There is like a...
They felt massively underdeveloped.
Massively underdeveloped. And like, and the times they did get to spend with them were like only okay. Like, it's not like you didn't spend time with them. They didn't not give them some screen time, but like still not enough to like develop them per se. I wouldn't even say like when I think back on it, like I feel like it even like some of them even made sense as much to like even like be there. There's like this sort of character that Maui's dealing with for a big section of the movie, and I felt like she was a very confusing character.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yep.
Like she didn't offer much to the plot. She like didn't come back at any point, and isn't even like actually a problem at all. Like, so, like I don't know. It just like that whole character was just like pointless. And she has like a song number, which felt like, and I could be wrong because as you guys know, we're very bad at music. It felt like the song was like American soul music or something.
Okay,
like it didn't seem like islandy or anything.
Like in keeping with like that, like, because Moana the original, I felt like was very true to like Polynesian,
yeah,
like Indo-Pacific culture.
Yes, you know? It felt very much that way. And well, like speaking of the music, like not only could I not tell you any of the side characters' names, I can't name you a single song from the movie. Like,
yeah,
like I don't remember any of them. Like not even like. Whatever the main, like, I know Moana sings like a big main number at the beginning. I don't even remember the name of that song or the chorus. Like, it just did not like land its hooks in my brain, pun intended.
The movie was also like, I kept feeling like it was like leaning towards like a, like the plot was always being driven forward by like goofy stuff. Like just kind of like wacky plot circumstance was sort of like what like kind of kept ticking it forward. It was just like, okay.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple of like emotionally impactful scenes, but like, yeah, I mean, altogether, I would say that it literally to me felt like a straight to DVD.
Yeah.
Like film, you know, where like, if I was sitting down on the couch and Addison was watching it and I knew all the characters, I probably wouldn't be like, you know, upset to watch it or anything. And it would be like, oh, okay. Like that's kind of fun that they did that. But like, it just didn't have like the gravitas that I feel like a like movie theater going experience is supposed to have. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you. Like, and I think to give it some, you know, defensive legs to stand on, I think the, when they initially started working on this, it was going to be an episodic release on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Which might have made more sense. Like, I know Moana, I remember, I think it did well at the box office on the first go around, but like it has been one of those movies that once it hit streaming has been like one of the most streamed things on Disney Plus, the first one.
Yeah.
So it kind of made sense for them to like say like, oh, let's put more Moana on streaming. And then like, I can see where if you were making an episodic series, it might like having the whole crew could have made more sense because it might get tired of like every episode is just Maui and Moana
right.
on the boat again or doing whatever they're doing. And that, you know, you probably each character would have had like their own little episode and you would have gotten some emotional time with each of them. And that might have like felt like a little better. But instead, it was like they developed those characters. And then at some point, someone was like, well, why don't we actually just make this into a streaming movie. And then at some point they were like, well, if we're making a movie, we may as well put it in theaters.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it would be very fascinating to like see what the ultimate pipeline was. Like if you could like kind of get like a better feel for what was going on there. Cause I mean like truly, yeah. Like I think it just felt like unfinished, underdeveloped.
Yeah. It like the songs kind of like felt rushed. Like it'd be like, they'd get into a situation and then they'd be like, and we're singing. And like every single time it just felt like out of rhythm or something.
Right. Yeah. They just couldn't get like the pacing right. And
right.
I suspect you're right. Like I bet probably if it was supposed to be episodic and you've got, you know, I don't even remember how many people came with her, four companions or whatever, like each companion would have like an episode that sort of is like illustrating like what their arc is. Like one of the guys that goes with her is like a little bit more elderly and he's like lived his life as like a farmer. And I think he's supposed to represent more of like that Matanui lifestyle that for so long did not go beyond the reef.
Right.
And so it's like, I think he's like a little bit like scared of the ocean, but like supposed to like maybe like adopt it like as time goes on or something. I don't know. It's like, you feel like there's a good story there because that would be illustrating like an example of like the greater island life. You know, like this is somebody who can't just immediately be like, you know, Moana has always been drawn to the ocean. Like, we're right there with her. We get why she wants to go. But like, there are plenty of people who have lived their whole life being like, no, we don't do that. Like,
right.
You know, now all of a sudden it's like, wait, the rules changed. Like, you know,
yeah,
that's jarring for me.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I think the crew wraps up a lot of my criticism with the movie. So let's talk about that for a sec. So you've got the three companions, more or less. You've got like the old guy who's a farmer.
Yeah.
You've got the, like this big buff guy who is also like a historian slash artist.
Slash fanboy.
Slash Maui fanboy.
Yep.
And then you've got this girl who is like the canoe builder, like the engineer.
Yes.
Kind of. And those are her companions. And I would say that as the movie progressed, none of their expertise really ends up mattering that much at all. Per the ship, like there's one point when the engineer girl comes up with something, but like if Moana had just come up with that herself, I also would have believed it.
Sure,
you know, like I, you know, whatever. But so my problem was that before they leave, there's this whole song, there's this big musical number about how like everyone in the tribe loves Moana, and there's this big ceremony where they like name her as like an official wayfinder, and she gets this like elevated title, and everyone is just like revering her for being like this expert sailor out on the water,
right?
And stuff like, they all recognize how great she is, you know, like there's a whole song about it that goes on and on, and then they get out there and she starts telling them what to do. And like, they're not listening. And I'm like, this is happening on the heels of the song, like seconds later.
Right.
And it's like, guys, all of you just sang a song about how great Moana is. Why aren't you listening to her? And like, meanwhile, like the engineer lady who was like building canoes is just like chopping ropes left and right around the boat. And it's just like, lady, you build canoes. You should know that's not what to do. And it's like,
that's what I mean with the goofy thing.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, it's like, yeah, it's fun to watch them like all like, you know, it's like not entertaining enough apparently if they just get out there and like can thrive at sailing. So it's let's just start chopping stuff. And it's like, yeah, but
that's nonsensical.
Right.
Like it's not inside the realm of like believability where like I fully expected them to not be cohesive at the beginning.
Sure.
As is you know, the way of movies and team building and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, any ensemble cast has to find a way to come together.
Has to find a way to come together. But it was the way in which they were failing, in that, like, it's not like they weren't good at sailing because, like, Moana hadn't taught them yet. It's that they weren't good at sailing because they weren't listening to what she was saying. But, like, they just finished singing a song about how she's the greatest in the whole world. Like, there's no reason for them to not be listening to her.
Right.
It'd be, like, one thing if she was, like, telling them, do this task, and then they were, like, bad at doing the task.
Right.
You know, like, that is how I felt. That would have made more sense.
Right.
Like, oh, go do this, go do that. And, you know, and then they go try and do it, and they just fail at it. And then she shows them a bunch of tricks, and, like, they all get better at it, and they learn how to work together. But, like, the one, then there's the old guy. It's like, the old guy is there. He doesn't want to be there. He's not even on deck. And, like, he's supposed to be there for food, but, like, at no point does his farming expertise come up as, like, a big win. Like, it just, like, why were you there? Like, it doesn't even make sense to bring this elderly guy out on this dangerous thing.
No, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like, no. I'm all for including, like, an elderly character, but it just, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like, you specifically chose him. When in the last movie, there's whole conversations you have about farming palm trees, like, with younger people.
Right.
That clearly know what they're doing.
Yes.
So, like, I just, like, it just, like, that was all so frustrating. That, like, and then, like, the canoe girl, so she's just, like, slicing things and, like, coming up with new things, but doesn't know how to sail. It's like, how are you building canoes if you don't know how to sail? You know?
Well, I know. And, like, and, you know, her character arc is kind of strange too, because she, I think she definitely had, like a sort of, like, perfectionist sort of, like, undertone that,
yeah,
I think was supposed to be, like a part of her character. But even still, it's like, this is a tribe that has only decided to start sailing in, like, the past few years after not doing it basically at all for, like, generations.
Yeah.
So it's like, even then, it's like, she could have only been this master builder for 4-3 years. Like, it's just not that much time, especially even given, like, the, you know, potential age of this character to, like, all of a sudden be
where
she's at.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. There were just, like, weird little aspects of it, but, like, I will be curious to go through and really, cause that was, like, you know, I feel like partially, like, we were, like, in parent mode while we were watching it. And I did have to take, like, Addison to the bathroom at one point in time. So I feel like there's a piece of me, it's like, I need to go back and just, like, see it again and, like, watch it with a more critical lens and just be like, is it me? Like, am I the one that's, like, missing the brilliance?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, also, like, they didn't get Lin-Manuel back for the music, which felt like a mistake.
Yes. Yeah. I think that I told Alice that exact thing. I was like, I don't think that I realized how much his influence on the music is, like, quintessential to the Moana experience.
Yeah.
Like, cause then it even seemed like there was a couple of times, like, where they, like, like, it was almost like somebody trying to be John Williams, you know, it's like, what they needed to either do was get Lin-Manuel back or just go in a completely different direction with somebody who is really good at a different style.
Yeah.
Instead of almost like having somebody like attempt to be Lin. And it's like, that's just not going to happen. Like,
yeah,
he is a very, like, he has a very defining, like, specific, like, you know, not to, I don't know, like, new sound.
Yeah.
That is so, like, him.
Yeah.
You know, and if anybody else could do it, like, it wouldn't be as remarkable as what it is, but it is.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if this is, like, part of, like, oh, we were just developing it as a series, like a show first, so we weren't going to spend as much on the music or something, and then, like, well, we already written a bunch and, you know, we didn't want to start over or something, so we just kind of went with what we had. Or like, I've heard, like, I know some people are just like, oh my God, they got Lin-Manuel again. Like, you know, hire, there are other people who can write music or something.
Well,
and it's like,
you mean going from, like, Moana to Encanto.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, we've.
To we've, Little Mermaid. Yeah. To,
yeah. Yeah. It's like, so we've kind of, like, seen his work in Disney movies.
And, like, if you want to say that, that's fine. Like, if you're tired of him showing up in every single new Disney movie, I disagree with you, but, I understand that point of view. However, Moana 1 was not the problem.
Right.
Moana 1 is a 10 out of 10 on the music. And for Moana 2, maybe bring it back instead of hiring someone to imitate him poorly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't think we can give rave reviews, unfortunately.
I'm afraid not. Nope.
To Moana. So we'll have to.
I mean, go see it. That said, my kids loved it. know.
That, I mean, also that being said, and our mom did go see it over the weekend. She was like, I really enjoyed it. And I was like, well, there you go.
There you go. And that, so sorry, mom.
I know. Those are the moments where I'm like maybe we're too leaned in.
Maybe.
You know, maybe. maybe that's the problem there. So anyway, that was Moana 2. Moving on from there, though, I think I've got like an interesting, a possible unexpected Ben take. So how about a little transition?
Transition! Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Y'all, we look and look and look every year for the perfect gift for our loved ones. Like, what do they need? What do they actually use? What is the gift that will keep on giving? Well, look no further than Rosetta Stone. Not only do they provide a lifetime membership of language learning, but learning a new language unlocks entire new regions of the world for fresh exploration and ways to expand your mind, not just through learning, but also through new people and cultures. Rosetta Stone is designed for fast language acquisition. It uses intuitive processes meant to help you pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. And before you know it, you'll be able to listen and think in a new language. Like, I can't even comprehend that. It's just that sounds awesome. But so if you need a gift idea or a last minute gift, give your family and friends the gift of language. You can get 50% off all 25 languages for a lifetime and no shipping fees. Give the gift that keeps on giving. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Today, Popcorn Culture listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, working with your older brother can come with challenges. For one, I constantly have all of these brand new ideas that could change the world, like a podcast called Uneven Diagrams, where we discuss unusual overlapping interests like competitive origami and blindfolded bowling. But oftentimes when you come up with these brilliant ideas, you're met with a kind of, sure, that's the best thing I've ever heard, but where to even start level retort. The nerve of some people. Am I right? The good news is I've learned the ultimate solution to getting your new business endeavor off the ground in no time flat, and that is Shopify. Shopify is seriously a secret weapon for launching a new business or taking your existing business to the next level by unlocking a whole world of potential customers. Shopify actually has this amazing heat map of the globe that shows you everywhere in the world that you currently have an active session. It's no secret. Businesses that want to grow, grow with Shopify. So upgrade your business to get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Again, go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so the other thing that we did on this great big long weekend is that we are fast approaching, actually, as of this episode going out, 1205 day will have and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're unfamiliar with this particular holiday family tradition for the Carlin fam, it is basically the date where our mom and dad were decorating a Christmas tree together, and our dad proposed.
Yep.
And then years later, it's also when we were decorating a tree and you proposed to Beth.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's just in like growing up our entire life, 1205 day has always been a thing. It's when we always decorate the Christmas tree. But usually we need to go get the tree itself first.
Yes.
And so we went up to, you know, like the tree farm, which honestly was kind of hilarious because we kept running into like so many people we knew. So it was like, you know, you're like out in the middle of just absolutely nowhere. And like every car that pulls in, I'm like, I know you. Hey, how's it going? So that was really fun. But anyway, like, you know, we go out, we got our tree. I'm very envious of your home because it allows you to buy a gigantic tree. So there's a huge part of me that like at the Christmas tree farm, I'm kind of like, I'm in the 5 to 6 footer tree range. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm kind of just buying like generic that one. Like, you know, well, I mean, like you still need to like speak to you a little bit, but there's a piece of me that, you know, it's like, I saw like yours coming down and, you know, it's like hanging off the back of the trailer and it's like, oh my gosh, it's such a big, cool tree. I want to have a big, cool tree.
We got a 10 footer, man.
Like, there you go.
I had a real Clark Griswold, but when we had to there's like a giant field of Christmas trees and it goes up the hills or whatever. And we had to walk up the hill. We were far up the hill.
I know. You can only imagine what happens is year after year, people don't want to walk that far. So the only ones that get really tall are the ones
The ones in the back.
The way back that have had years and years to grow.
Years to grow. But I mean, we crested one little hill and we turned to the left and it was like, oh, that's the one, you know.
Did it like light up and everything?
It felt like it lit up. Yeah, in my mind, it lit up. Yeah,
I love it. Totally. I love it.
So we went and we got that one. It was a big boy. It was a big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got it home though. Dad had to come over to help me like get it off the car. Cause like the thing about Christmas trees is that like they're surprisingly light for being like trees.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too awful bad. Yeah.
Yeah. But at 10 feet, they have officially reached too heavy.
Too heavy. Okay.
Too heavy for me to, I could probably like drag it around and stuff and get there, but to like get it on the stand, hoist it up, maneuver it around. And like, it's tall enough where like even on the stand, like it can kind of sway a little and it felt like it could like fall.
Oh gosh.
I know, which last year wasn't a problem, but this year this tree was a tad more precarious.
Okay.
Dare I say. Maybe they like drilled it too far. I don't know. A pro tip, guys, if you're out buying real trees, ask them to drill the bottom where you can just put a big stake in it, which is like attached to your tree stand.
There you go.
And that's like the fastest way to do it. But they might have drilled it like too far, so like the stake didn't have like a spot to like stick in or something.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. But this one, it felt a little more precarious. So like we got it up, and then me and Dad actually had to like install like tie lines to like, you know, the walls of my living room to like keep the tree, like to just ensure that it doesn't fall. Like it felt like stable, but I was like, I have some boys who could just run into this tree just the wrong way. And
yes.
Yeah. I don't need a 10-foot tree toppling on top of one of them.
That is extraordinary.
Yeah.
That is extraordinary.
Yeah. So that was pretty good. But gosh, then I went through the whole, you know, like lighting a 10-foot tree hard because you got to get up to the top there. So
you almost need like scaffolding.
Yeah. I mean, I just have like there's a pretty basic ladder and I would get up there and it's like, it's pretty tricky because, you know, you got to go all the way around. So I would go up and I would like wrap it around like the 30% of the tree that my arms could reach and have to climb all the way down the ladder, move it like 4 feet around the tree, climb back up, do another 30% of the tree.
Oh my
gosh. And like do that. And like, that's like, I mean, we probably walked around the tree like 100 times.
Holy
cow.
You
know, then once you get lower, of course, you can just stand on the ground again, but you got to go back up and down a few times. And it took a while. And finally, because it's so big, we had so many strands of lights go together, but we plugged it in and it turns on and it's great. And then I had to go pick up Luke's birthday cake for his party the next day. And like, while I'm out driving, Beth calls me and she's like, yeah, all the lights in the tree just went out. And I was just like, what?
No,
they did. I'm not. Oh my God. I just spent 2 hours putting lights on this tree and no, what? But basically we had too many strands strung together and we just like blew a fuse in the first one. So I had to like take that down. And I was like, you know what? Like, I remember last year I was trying to replace a fuse and it went off the rails and it was like frustrating, but like, I'm just going to sit down when it's quiet. I'm going to get my new fuses. They come with them. This happens. This is a known thing. I'm just going to replace it real quick and that'll be that.
Yeah.
I'll redo it. Boy, nothing could be further from the truth.
Oh my gosh.
They are so annoying to replace. Have you ever had to do it?
Honestly, no. I think every time lights have gone down, I'm like, time to get a new set.
That is
probably the wrong mentality, but
dude, it might not be because I was like, first, you can't get them out with your fingers or anything. Like they come with replacement fuses and it should be so easy. Like you should just have to like pop something in, pull it out, pop it in, done.
Yeah.
It should be so easy, but it's not. Like, everything's at the wrong angles. You can't, like, set them in and just push them down because it's at such an angle that if you push it down, it's, like, catching against itself.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't work. I mean, I literally could not get the new fuses in. I finally jammed them in. I'm like, I'm not even sure if all the metal's touching the other metal spots where it's supposed to. Like, and I can't adjust them around because every time I go and do it, I feel like I'm going to break the fuse again. And I'm plugging it in and it's not working. I'm like, okay, obviously I didn't do it right, but now I got to take them out and put them back in again. But now I can't even open the slide to take the fuse out again because in doing so, I've like crunched something. And ultimately, I had to like rip the entire socket apart to get the fuses out. And then they broke inside. And I was like, yeah, these lights are dead to me.
Wow.
You know what? I'm going to be okay with the 100 less twinkle lights.
There you go.
I just, yeah, it was fine. So we, I disconnected a couple cords, plugged them in appropriately. The tree looks great. No fuses.
I am proud of you for going for it.
Oh my gosh.
To say the least.
I was so frustrated though.
I totally understand. And I mean, I think that's like almost exactly where I was going with this. Like it occurred to me over the weekend because like we get home and like, you know, we're, you know, it's like, we've got like our Christmas tree and like, you know, we even like go, like we've got this like tradition of going to this like cool tree farm and like our whole family is there and like we tailgate.
Yeah.
And,
we
like,
tailgate Christmas trees, guys.
We do.
You tailgating your Christmas trees? Cause you're doing it wrong. If you're not.
Yeah. Like mom brings like hot chocolate and coffee and we've got like biscuits and donuts and like, you know, butter shots for all the things. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you're all bundled up and all the kids are there and it's, you know, Santa's walking around. And I mean, it's like everything about it is like, you know, special and magical and should be so fun. But like, and I don't know. I feel like a little bit of like a Scrooge McDuck over here, but I'm like, I think I don't like decorating for the holidays. Like I don't think I actually enjoy the process at all. Like it is always like one of these things, like not even going through the rigmarole that you just went through, but like getting the tree in the house, the pine needles going everywhere, trying to like go through and dig out like all the boxes. Like we have not done a good job at our house of like organizing like
the Christmas boxes,
boxes, and like the ornaments, the decor. And you know, we've got like some stuff in our basement, some stuff in our attic. And like you almost always what happens is like, we will go through the holiday itself and, you know, invariably like I'll have bought Alice a pair of new shoes or something for Christmas. And so like when we're breaking down the Christmas tree, the box that is readily available right there next to the Christmas tree is the box of the shoes came in or whatever. Yeah. So we end up like using that box, but like stuff isn't labeled and we're usually using like leftover like wrapping paper to like use as like the buffers and everything. So, yeah. I mean, some basic organization would probably go a long way towards like resolving a lot of these issues. But most of the time I just end up feeling like a huge amount of like anxiety that like I've lost like a very like important or sentimental ornament. Like I don't know where anything goes. I feel like stringing the lights ends up always just like leading to like some type of like argument or something or another where it's just like, you know, different philosophies as to like, you know, where to wrap the lights and everything. So like I get through it every year and I'm like, I don't even know if I'm having fun. Like, and then it's so temporary.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you're putting all this energy into making it festive, which I do end up ultimately very much enjoying. But then we'll get to after the holidays and, you know, we take the last week of the year off. It's like, you know, like a office wide thing. But that usually also just means that like one day during that break, I'm going to have to spend undoing it all. And there's nothing less fun than setting it up, than undoing it. Because then like the holiday is over. All the excitement is over. All the cookies are gone. It's like, you know, now it's just kind of gray and cold.
Right.
And it's like, so I feel like that's like what I associate with all the Christmas decorations. Every single time I go and pull them back out is the last year when I poorly put them away. And so I don't know, maybe this year what I need to do is just do a better job so like I can have more fun with it. But I don't know, maybe it's even like a family culture thing, like where we just don't slow down enough to like properly like play the Christmas music and make cups of hot chocolate and, you know, like sit down as a family
and do it
just feels like chaotic and stressful and exhausting. And I'm
that
like,
is so funny. Yeah. Like it, I would say it's not quite like that at my house. Like I remember the first year we put lights on the tree. I think it was maybe like Beth came to our house for 1205 day or something.
Okay.
And like, I think maybe me and you were putting the lights on mom and dad's tree.
Okay.
Or something. And like, we Mom like handed us the lights and Beth was sitting on the couch. And I think me and you got the lights on the tree in like 3 minutes or something.
Okay.
Like, cause we were, you know, mom and dad's tree, you know, we were tall enough that we could each stand on one side, like just basically pass the thing around in a circle. And like, we got them on, we plugged it in and we were like, all right, where's next? And I remember Beth being astounded. She was just like, I didn't know it was possible to put lights on a tree that fast, you know? Like I think at her house, like the act of putting the tree up was like exactly what you just described.
Okay.
It was like, you know, it was frustrating. It took hours. Like, and I think the way her dad used to do it was like he would get like a bucket and he would like fill it with like large rocks. And then the rocks would be the stabilizers for the tree. But
okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
I
yeah.
mean, kind of, yeah. But like
unique method.
Unique method. And indeed very finicky because, you know, you got to turn the tree just right. And then, you know, you got to move the around the rocks so that they fit exact, so that the tree is going straight.
Right.
And I think it just took forever. And then they would put the lights on and it would take forever. And like, I will brag on myself. I'm good at putting lights on a tree.
Nice. Look at you go.
I mean, yeah. if you come to Roanoke during Christmas and you want to like walk around, every Friday is what's called Dickens of a Christmas downtown.
Yeah.
And it's very fun. It's cold, but lots to see and do. Especially if you walk over to the Hotel Roanoke, they always have this insane display of Christmas trees.
They do. Yeah. A bunch of different companies like sponsor one and then they, mm-hmm. you know, go through and decorate it. And there's a competition and yes. yeah, it's very, very fun. Very yes. festive.
Well, Ben, back when I used to work at the Berglund Center.
Nailed it. You
AKA
got there.
The concert venue that the Berglund Center has a tree at the Hotel Roanoke.
And would you rock this
and
tree?
I was the one who was appointed tree decorator. And I remember when I was told this, I was like, oh God, this is bad news. This is not good. Because like I grew up seeing the trees and I was always like, these are so cool.
Right.
And I was just like, I'm not on that level. There's no way. I can't do this. What are you talking about?
How am I supposed
it's
going to
be so
to
embarrassing. How am I supposed to live up to these guys? But, you know, turns out obviously the center just, you know, they just had tons of decorations that we could use and it was just fine. But in doing so, I had to like put lights on many a Christmas tree. And then we would host an event. We had an in-house event called Wine and Pine.
Okay, I do remember that.
Yes, it was like a dueling piano event and it was part of like an initiative, like, you know, venues had to come up with their own events and like host them and market them and all that. And so ours was called Wine and Pine. It was a dueling piano event. It was like just like a big holiday party, you know, get a table for your company, come hang out, drink wine, eat dinner and dueling pianos. And honestly, like it was one that you just had to be there to get it.
Okay.
But, I mean, it captured all of the magic of a dueling piano bar for a night in Roanoke. And we did it for like 3 years or something. But the pine part was, of course, that there were Christmas trees everywhere.
Yeah.
And we had to decorate all of them.
Oh, so, my gosh.
So I remember just spending a full day just, you know, putting lights on 10 different trees. And so I've got way more practice than your average individual at putting lights on trees.
Nice.
And
nice.
I feel like it gives me like a certain like sense of confidence though and like authority when we're doing it at home. It's not like there's no arguing. I'm clearly better at it. You know? and like Beth understands that too. She's like, you guys are so much better at lights on trees. And so she'll like whatever. She's just like, and we put it on and it just goes up so quick. And I mean, for the 10 footer, it took a while, obviously.
Naturally, but, yeah.
But we got that. So yeah, that's my methodology.
Look at you go. Look at you go.
This is my zone.
It never fails to blow my mind the number of bizarre life skills that you learned while working there.
It was a multifaceted job to be sure.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It really seems like you've ticked a lot of boxes there.
Yeah.
You've grown as a person.
I know.
Well done. But yeah, so anyway, I was like writing my show notes, you know, but like getting ready for today's episode, and I was like, we decorated the Christmas tree. And I was like, I want to describe this as something that I thoroughly enjoyed. And I'm like, I don't know that I did.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was like, I feel like I'm not being completely honest with myself. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll feel better if I just admit to myself that this is just like, it's like, maybe this is just not my thing.
Maybe not your thing.
You know, like, and it's not that I don't love them. It's like, I'm not like anti Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's definitely not the position. Like, I do love how it all ends up looking. And like, we have like a really beautiful like mantle, and it's like, it ends up being really great and very enjoyable and put you in the total like Christmas spirit, but I don't like doing it.
Yeah.
I don't like doing it the first time, you know, like going through and actually having to like,
having to do it.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I think some organization would probably go a long way for you. We have, I'm sure if you listen back, there was an episode where I was fawning over the shelves we put up in our storage room.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
One of those shelves is just committed to Christmas decorations.
Amazing.
And so it's all just right there. Got it.
You know exactly where it goes.
So tonight, as the day we're recording this, is when we're actually going to put the ornaments on the tree, finally.
Oh, so you haven't done that part
yet. Still haven't done that part yet. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had other things to do, including Luke's birthday party.
Yeah.
Separate from his birthday.
Right.
Where we went to a place that's called Bricks for Kids. I don't know if it's like a national chain or not.
I looked it up. It is a franchise, but I don't know how like national it is.
Yeah.
But it is a franchise.
Okay. Well, it's just Legos. I think that must not be associated with Lego, or it'd be in the title or something.
Yeah.
But they've just got Legos there. Lego. I'm sorry. That's the plural. Right?
It is,
you're not supposed to put the S on the end.
Look at you go. Yeah. Ooh, good save. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So somebody was like halfway through the comment. They were like, oh, he got it.
Never mind. He got it. So it's just it's like a Lego birthday party. You choose a theme and then they've got little booklets that go with that theme. So he chose Minecraft because he's all about some Minecraft, despite not really playing the game that much.
I was asking Beth. I was like, so is he playing Minecraft? Because I've never done it. Like to this day, I've always thought like maybe that'd be like a really like fun, weird branch for us to like delve into.
Oh, because, for sure it would be.
Because like we just don't know anything.
Yeah.
So like maybe it would just be fun to watch us like, you know, squirm. Yeah.
We'd just be such noobs at it.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we watched some channel on YouTube Kids. It's like Mazin, I think is what it is. And it's like definitely like made in Japan first and then they send it to America and they like, there's like a dubbed version for English.
Okay.
But it's got Mikey and JJ. So any parents out there who are watching Mikey and JJ, you know what I'm talking about. It is hard to watch. Which is to say, it is actually very well made. It is just so much more annoying to hear in the background than like a real show.
But I
will watch it and they like, it's easy to see why the kids like it. It's bright and colorful and they have funny things that are happening and,
okay,
you know, they come up with funny little narratives to do in the game where they use lots of different like hacks and mods and stuff to like make crazy things happen, and
that's fun.
They're clearly very good at Minecraft or whatever, but whoever's making it originally. Anyway, yeah, there he goes. But so he still likes it. We watch a lot of that. We watch a lot of Minecraft.
Okay.
And Luke is pumped for the Minecraft movie.
Oh, I know. Yes. So I was sitting next to him at the movie theater for Moana and I saw it pop up and I was like, this actually looks kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like Jack Black, you know?
Jack Black,
like,
okay. Jason Momoa.
Yeah. It's like, okay. It's giving me like Jumanji.
Yeah.
Like the first Jumanji, like, you know, the recent one with The Rock and everything.
And Jack Black.
Yeah. It's like, maybe that's the common thing.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're just like, we just got Jason Momoa instead of The Rock.
Yes. Yeah. But no, it looked really fun. But like Luke the whole time was like, I want to see this now. I want to see this today.
He
and
is,
I was like, whew, we're going to have to wait till like April 4th.
I know. He is so excited for the Minecraft movie, which I do think is going to be good. But we'll get to that. So we had like a Minecraft themed party and we had like a TNT block shaped cake and all of that. All the kids just build. They have like a bunch of free play time, so they just have boxes and boxes of Legos everywhere. Lego everywhere, and they build stuff. Then they come do the Minecraft build and go back to free play. We opened a bunch of presents. Good time. If you have a Bricks for Kid, I would say it was good. All the kids are in one room, and it's easy to keep track of everybody.
That's true. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, I obviously love Chuck E. Cheese. We talked about it for like a whole episode.
We did, yeah. Charles Entertainment.
Super, super fun as well. Hard to keep track of people there.
True.
Yeah,
which
may be the only downside. But this was very easy. You could just talk to the parents the whole time because all the kids are, you don't have to run around. You can talk to your friends because all the kids are in one room.
Right.
You don't have to keep monitoring them. So that was a good point. But Ben, what I really want to talk about is what you got Luke for his birthday.
Yeah, was it a hit?
Oh, dude. Okay. So what Ben got, and did you just like go to the store and just pick it out at random?
No, I was really having a hard time trying to decide what to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going back and forth and I was doing research and I was kind of doing like my poke around thing and like trying to find things, and finally landed on a concept, and then I placed the order and came to discover that like part of it was going to be shipped to my house. The other part of it, I had to go to the store to like physically like pick up on Black Friday, which was like, I was like, oh my God, this is terrible.
But
like
terrible news.
But like we got it square. But anyway, so we went with Beyblades.
Beyblades. Yeah. Yes. Beyblade. Oh, dude. Absolute home run.
Was it?
Absolute home
I
run.
I love it.
Dude, I mean, they are awesome.
Are they?
Awesome.
Oh, man. I'm so glad to hear it.
Dude, yes. It was this. So if you don't know what Beyblades are, they are tops, basically.
Yeah. Yep. I think when we were kids, were they called Spin Masters?
Well, that's a different brand altogether.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they are, yeah, like you've probably like, I'm sure you've heard the phrase Beyblade, but yeah, it's like, they're like, there's like a metal top that you attach to like a rip cord and you pull it and they spin around and they like, you know, run into each other and like quote unquote battle
yes.
or whatever.
Yep.
And yeah, so when we were kids, we had something, where did I have it in here, called Spin Fighters.
Okay.
Yes. Which were like the precursor to the Beyblades.
I did love these.
Yes.
They had like a really, they were made of metal. They had like a really nice heft to them. Mm-hmm. The image was always kind of like holographic and there was this like really neat, almost like flip open. It kind of reminds me of like those, like a switchblade, comb.
Yeah.
You remember how yes. like you like got like press the button and like the little comb would pop out and it was like spring loaded or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you had this like little cassette that you would like crank a bunch of times and then you would like fold it shut, click the button, it would pop the top and it would like shoot out the little top and
yeah.
it was so fun.
It was they were super fun and they always had like cool characters on them from like I think we had a bunch of like Power Ranger ones and like Street Fighter ones.
Yeah, Blanca.
Blanca. That was my favorite one.
I felt like that was the good one.
That was the good one. Which is to say they were all the exact same. And they like every Spin Fighters were as different as the character printed on them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. They were not different at all. They just had different characters on them.
Oh yes, correct, yes. correct. Otherwise, yes. it was like the same stamp metal with like a sticker on it.
Yes, same shape, same stamp metal, same little plastic spinner top thing beneath it. And the idea was you kind of got this like sort of like big plastic bowl thing. That was like the Spin Fighter arena, and you'd both launch your little discs in there. And whichever one stopped spinning first, that was the loser, because they'd run into each other, and that was it. That was the game.
Yeah.
That said, we had the Spin Fighter launchers, and we had a few of the actual like spinner things, but we never had the arena.
We didn't. I think we would always use like mom had like a commemorative like watermelon shaped mm-hmm. like plastic plate.
Yeah,
and I feel like it just like slightly rounded edges. So
yeah,
I feel like that's what we used.
Kind of used. Yeah, so we could sort of do it, but we never had like the full on experience. And I remember we'd go to friends' houses, and like sometimes they'd have it, and it would be like, oh man, let's do Spin Fighters or whatever.
Yeah. I brought a whole pocket full.
Yeah. But you know, we never got like it reminded me so much of like when we started buying Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Like we sort of got like the outside edge of the taste of it.
Right.
As a kid, but we never got like the full scoop of ice cream.
Right.
You know, like, and so we get home though, and I'm assembling the little Beyblade arena because you got Luke, you just started Luke off right away. You got the arena.
Got the arena.
Yeah. And then we got four bays is what they're called.
Okay, so the individual spinners are called bays.
Yeah,
okay.
The individual spinners are called bays. And these are Spin Fighters on steroids. Do you remember once upon a time when I made a video about the ketchup packets at Chick-fil-A?
Yes.
Yes, it is like that for Spin Fighters. Where it's like, no, you know what? We had ketchup packets and they're fine and they work and everyone's used them forever. But someone decided that they were going to level up ketchup packets times a million.
And make it like way better.
And make it way better for no reason.
Yeah.
And someone loved Spin Fighters so much that they were like, I can do way better than this. And they did. And they leveled it up times a million.
Amazing.
There's an entire anime about Beyblades and stuff. I have no idea about how any of that goes. I don't see how you can make a show about it, but it's very successful as I understand it.
Yes, yeah.
But regardless, don't worry about the anime. What's actually amazing is the game itself.
Cool.
It's so fun because you have like the spinning tops or whatever.
Right.
And each one, like the different character, like the shape of the top is different to go with the character.
Okay.
So like what they're running into each other with like makes a difference. Like they'll hit each other differently or whatever.
And my mind is immediately going to like Robot Wars.
It's kind of like that.
Like, you know, where it's like some of them are like very like low to the ground, but like they've got like a flipper type of contraption, whereas like other ones are like big and beefy and they've got like big like chainsaws. They're like,
yeah. These are all, they're all like, there's no like moving parts or anything.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or anything like that. But like, there's the top spot, which is the actual disc, which has its own, they're made of metal. So like, they're hefty.
Okay.
Like, they don't feel like they're going to break. It doesn't feel like cheap. And then there's like a middle section that, I guess like either sticks out, like a little bit further or a little bit closer. And I guess if it's like wider, it has more stability, but maybe if it's like smaller, it gives it like more like, I don't know, zip. I don't know how it works or anything like that. Yeah. And then there's the actual top it's spinning on, and they have a bunch of different shapes. Some are like flat on the bottom. Some are like rounded. Some are like more at a point or something.
Oh, okay. There's way more variables than I realized.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It is way more variables, and it's like, and they're all completely interchangeable. So we have, you got us four discs, which means we have 12 total pieces.
Oh,
and they're
nice.
Very easy to take apart and mix and match. And they all come with like stats on them that are like, this one's really good at attacking. This one has better stamina. This one's better at defense. So you can just be, and like each individual part has all those things.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can mix. So we were like, you know, Luke was like, I want to build like, you know, I was like, okay, Luke, let's build like the ultimate attacker. And we just figured out like what had the most attack value on each of those things and put them together. And sure enough, he was just wrecking everyone else all of a sudden.
Dang!
You know, which was like very fun. I was like, it does make a difference. Like the stats aren't just like there. And I was looking it up. There's like, I mean, there's YouTube channels dedicated to Beyblade. There's like competitive Beybladeing and
no
stuff.
No way.
Yeah. Even the arena itself. And has these little plastic ridges around the end. I was like, I wonder what this is for. But like the spinning part, the bottom part, the top has like ridges, like a cog that fits into the ridges.
Okay.
And so if it floats over to the side, the ridges will catch and it will zing it around the side of the arena. And then it like loops back in on itself. So it will like fire it. It will like, it'll launch it at the opponent.
Dude.
Yeah.
There is so much more. I mean, I feel like I only knew the tip of the iceberg.
Exact same. Same. Because when we were kids, all we had was spin fighters. And then you launched them and one of them just stopped spinning first.
Right.
And this is like, no, you were getting into battles. There is strategy. You could like, there's like points to score, which is so easy to pick up on. It's just like, if it stops spinning, that's 1 point. If you knock it into this knockout zone, that's 2 points. If you obliterate it and it comes apart, that's points. If you send it like over the wall into this thing, that's 3 points. And it was just like, it was so easy to pick up. It was so easy to change them out. It was immediately fun just being like, what if we do this combination? What if we do this combination? And like Luke, 7 years old, had all the finger dexterity to just like rip those things as fast as he could.
No issue.
Dude, I mean, I had half a mind to buy a set for the office on the way in.
No way.
I was like, this would be so fun to just like be doing in the middle of lunch. Be like, let's go.
Yeah, who wants a Beyblade?
Exactly. Dude, I was having so much fun doing it with the kids.
Good.
it was great. And then this morning I'm like, I'm going to try and get more for like, you know, Nick and Nate to have their own little bays for like Christmas or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
so definitely. Easy to add on to.
Right.
Or whatever. And I was looking them up. And then you're like, okay, I bet there's like optimal builds or whatever. Like,
right.
Or I bet there's like, is there like a best one or whatever? And sure enough, there's like in competition, they're like, oh yeah, basically if you use any of these five parts when you're in like a tournament setting,
right,
like that docks you a point immediately because it's such an advantage. And I was like, well, we're not in tournaments.
know, like, let's just get those.
Well, so I thought I found like one of them right away, but there was one called the Cobalt Drake.
Okay.
It was $230, Ben.
For the bay?
For the bay. I was like, what is this? And I think what's happened is that they made them and they don't make them anymore. So now they're like, now if you want to get them, you got to like secondhand market them, basically.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh. This is like, there's so much more depth to this than I thought.
This is incredibly interesting.
I know.
So we have now like ventured into like new waters.
Oh dude, I know. It was like, I'd heard about Beyblades and stuff or whatever. And I always thought spin fighters were cool, but to actually play with them, I was like, these are so cool. This is so fun. I could like, I would love this if I was a kid. I love it and I'm an adult.
I love it right now.
I know. I was having just as much fun as the kids. I was like, my only thing was just like Nick and Nate had like so much more trouble like pulling the cords and stuff or like getting a good spin off.
Sure.
It was like, you know, I felt bad because like, you know, Luke would be so excited and he'd pull his and it would go spinning like crazy. But then on the flip side, I can pull it so much harder than Luke.
Sure.
That, like, you know, like, but if, like, me and you can both just rip them, like, then you'd have, like, real fights.
Sky's,
you know?
The limit. Sky's the limit.
Yeah. It's like, for me, it's just like, either I pull it hard and destroy you, or I pull it lightly and let you win.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Those are our current
games. Those are our current game modes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll have to like, continue to keep a pulse.
On the Beyblades. Yeah. Apparently, they've switched it out to, so Beyblade X. That's the current gen.
Okay, and so this was like the challenge I was running into when I was shopping. And yeah. This is like why it was like, I was like, I don't know what's going on, because I would have thought that these would just be like readily available at like all major retailers.
You'd think.
And it did not seem like that was the case. And I think that's why my shipment ended up being broken into these like different pathways.
Okay.
I think one of them was like, you know, Walmart store to store. Like, some Walmart had them somewhere that they could deliver to our Walmart to go and get. Whereas, like, the other one was, like, available through, like, a third-party retailer that was, like, shipping it to my house. So, it was a whole thing.
Whole thing.
But we got him there. I'm glad that he enjoyed them. I'm glad that you enjoyed them.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was super fun. So, I'm definitely going to get some more for them for Christmas so that they can expand their collection and just battle some bays, I guess.
Do they need a collector's case for them?
I think probably because, like, there's different, like, for all your different, like, you know, bottom pieces and middle pieces and top discs or whatever. Yeah. It'd be easy to start getting them, like, lost.
Yes. Scattered. I can see that. Yeah.
But yeah, have like a just dedicated case for your, then there's like, I don't want to get into it all. I was learning a lot this morning.
Good.
I was like, ooh, this is a interesting world.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to keep reporting back. Cause I'm curious to learn more. But we've gone quite long today.
We've gone long. I told you it was a busy weekend.
Yeah. That's what happens when we've got a few days off work. I mean, just like, you know, get into all sorts of shenanigans.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good stuff. But guys, as always, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you'd like to get in on that vinyl record, you can do so by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture, signing up for the quarterly merch tier. Should be a lot of fun. Exclusive episode only available on a vinyl disc, which should be super fun. Yeah, so be sure to check that out. Otherwise, if you want to send any feedback for the show, you can do that to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Super Carlin Brothers is sponsored by Nude. Y'all, of course, know about my podcasting and YouTube endeavors, and you may even know that I do some aquarium maintenance at times, but you may not be aware that my wife, Alice, and I also own a business together called Nude. I know it's a funny name, but there's actually a fun story behind it. See, Alice has always had a deep love for clothing and fashion, but even more so for thrifting. It was her way to sustainably and economically expand her wardrobe while still aiming for quality brands that would last. And she is really good at it. Like, I can't tell you the number of times over the years that she has been stopped by people admiring her finds. So much so that she coined a phrase for her response. Thanks, it's nude. As in new, but in the past tense, because it's not exactly new, it's nude. So, we took this concept and created a storefront not 100 yards from where Super Carlin Brothers was created, and have an online shop featuring pre-loved clothing from brands like Lululemon, Free People, Anthropologie, Madewell, and so many more. If you'd like to check it out for yourself to ring in the nude year, if you will, you can do so at nudesalem.com and use promo code SUPER to get 20% off your entire order. That's NEWDSalem.com, promo code SUPER for 20% off.